So we're reading from Bhagavad Gita. This is chapter 11, text number 55. Translation. My dear Arjuna, he who engages in my pure devotional service, free from the contaminations of fruitive activities and mental speculation, he who works for me, who makes me the supreme goal of his life, and who is friendly to every living being, he certainly comes to me. Anyone who wants to approach the Supreme of all the personalities of Godhead on the Krishnaloka planet in the spiritual sky and be immediately connected with the Supreme Personality, Krishna, must take this formula as stated by the Supreme himself. Therefore, this verse is considered to be the essence of Bhagavad Gita. The Bhagavad Gita is a book directed to the conditioned souls who are engaged in the material world with the purpose of lording it over material nature, and who do not know of the real spiritual life. The Bhagavad Gita is meant to show how one can understand his spiritual existence and his eternal relationship with the Supreme Spiritual Personality, and to teach one how to go back home, back to Godhead. Now here is the verse which clearly explains the process by which one can attain success in his spiritual activity, devotional service. As far as work is concerned, one should transfer his energy entirely to Krishna conscious activities. As stated in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 2.255, Anasakta Shivishayan Yataharham Upayanjitaha Nirbandak Krishna Sambande Yuktam Vairagyam Uchite. No work should be done by any man except in relationship to Krishna. This is called Krishna karma. One may be engaged in various activities, but one should not be attracted or attached to the results of his work. The results should be done only for him. For example, one may be engaged in business, but to transform that activity into Krishna consciousness, one has to do business for Krishna. If Krishna is the proprietor of the business, then Krishna should enjoy the profit of the business. If a businessman is in possession of thousands and thousands of dollars, and if he has to offer all this to Krishna, he can do it. This is work for Krishna. Instead of constructing a building for his sense gratification, he can construct a nice temple for Krishna, and he can install the deity of Krishna and arrange for the deity service. As is outlined in the authorized books of devotional service, this is all Krishna karma. One should not be attached to the work, result of his work, but the results should be offered to Krishna, and one should accept as prasadam the remnants of offerings to Krishna. If one constructs a very big building for Krishna and installs a deity of Krishna, one is not prohibited from living there, but it is understood that the proprietor of the building is Krishna. That is called Krishna consciousness. If, however, one is not able to construct a temple for Krishna, one engages himself in cleansing the temple. One can engage himself in cleansing the temple of Krishna. That is also Krishna karma. One can cultivate a garden. Anyone has land. I won't read all the purport. I'll just paraphrase the rest of it, because we're really concerned about these things are important. But for this particular class, we'll read the last paragraph. Is that okay? And then it starts speaking about how we, you know, sow the tulsi plant and worship the tulsi plant like that. And it's where we can worship and at the mercy of Tulsi Devi. Then the next verses explain the process of engaging in nine processes of devotional service. And then the next point is the Sangha Varjitaha. This means, you know, to disassociate ourselves from the persons who are not interested in Krishna consciousness. I'll read this a little bit. The term Sangavajita is very significant. One should disassociate himself from persons who are against Krishna. Not only are the atheist persons against Krishna, but so also are those who are attracted to fruitive activities and mental speculation. Therefore, the pure form of devotional service is described in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.1.11. Anya Bilishita Shunyam Jnana Karmadya Navritam Anukul Yena Krishnanu Shilanam Bhakti Uttama. So, you know, devotional service should be free from mental speculation, fruitive activity, any desires for any type of enjoyment, even coming from yoga. And it should be performed favourably as Krishna desires. So we come to the particular paragraph that we're most concerned with. A devotee of Krishna is friendly to everyone. Therefore, it is said here that he has no enemy, nirvaraha. How is this? A devotee is situated in Krishna consciousness, knows that only devotional service to Krishna can relieve a person from all the problems of life. He has personal experience of this, and therefore he wants to introduce this system, Krishna consciousness, into human society. There are many examples in history of devotees of the Lord who risked their lives for spreading God consciousness. The favourite example is Lord Jesus Christ. He was crucified by the non-devotees, but he sacrificed his life for spreading God consciousness. Of course, it would be superficial to understand that he was killed. Similarly, in India also there are many examples such as Haridas Thakur and Prahlad Maharaj. Why such risk? Because they wanted to spread Krishna consciousness, and it is difficult. A Krishna conscious person knows that if a man is suffering, it is due to his forgetfulness of his eternal relationship with Krishna. Therefore, the highest benefit one can render to human society is relieving one's neighbour from all material problems. In such a way, a pure devotee is engaged in the service of the Lord. Now we can imagine how merciful Krishna is to those engaged in his service, risking everything for him. Therefore, it is certain that such persons must reach the supreme planet after leaving this body. In summary, the universal form of Krishna, which is temporary manifestation, and the form of time, which devours everything and everything, and even the form of Vishnu, four-handed, have been exhibited by Krishna. Thus, Krishna is the origin of all these manifestations. It is not that Krishna is a manifestation of the original Vishvarupa or Vishnu. Krishna is the original form. There are hundreds and thousands of Vishnus, but for a devotee, no form of Krishna is important but the original form, two-handed Shyamasunda. In the Brahma Samhita, it is stated that those who are attached to the Shyamasunda form of Krishna in love and devotion can see him always within the heart and cannot see anything else. One should understand, therefore, that the purport of the 11th chapter is that the form of Krishna is essential and supreme. Om Gyan Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Nama Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shri Mati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Dev Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesa Shunyavadi Pastachyade Shatarine. So these are the activities of a successful devotee. And he says, a kind friend to everyone. So it's not like, you know, he's going down the road shaking hands with everybody and, you know, that kind of friendship. And it says in this particular verse that we try to avoid that. So, and then Prabhupada explained that even though it's not recommended that we take that association, we do so for a higher purpose. and the higher purpose is to give Krishna consciousness. In the other sampradayas, like the Nimbarka sampradaya is still relevant, and Ramanuja sampradaya, they're still there in India. They can't understand what we're doing. They think, they must be mad. You know, they go into a country which is completely atheistic, and they're closely associating with people, you know, who are going to turn their mind, they're going to, by that association. In fact, I've heard that, you know, sometimes in some mats, the sannyasi will have his rod and he will push people away, who he thinks he's going to get contaminated by. So there's, you know, I think it was a Los Angeles temple, the brahmacharis, they were dancing, and previous to that, the Matajis, they used to dance at the back. But, you know, the women's liberation came in, so they put them at the side of the brahmacharis, you know, like we have now. And the brahmacharis were shocked because it's something they weren't used to. And so they complained to Prabhupada, they complained to the temple president, who inaugurated this new system. And Prabhupada said, what to do? He said, we might as well go and live in the Himalayas. If you want to actually be so detached, it's not here to preach. He said, if that's bothering you, you shouldn't be a brahmachari. So what happens when we engage in this movement that Lord Chaitanya inaugurates and Prabhupada is delivering to us is that when we're engaged in Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement, then we're protected from the, if we're fully absorbed in that, we're protected. We get special mercy. You know, conversely, Lord Chaitanya says, Mahaprabhu Rabhakta Ganera Vairagya Pradhan Yahandeki Priti Anagora Bhagavan. When, you know, the renunciation is the thing that sustains the lives of the devotees, Lord Chaitanya's devotees. And when Lord Chaitanya sees that, he becomes very, very pleased. But in as far as preaching goes, we don't renounce. This is the point. That we, you know, just like Prabhupada says, he says, you know, one pious young lady, she was trained to be a dancer. We saw some dancing on Sunday and raised a few eyebrows, I think. But we saw some dancing on Sunday, and what was I going to say now? this dancer, yeah. She was trained, and then when it came to going on the stage, she was like, whoa, you know, thousands of people. She got scanty, you know, dress on, or like they do with this Bharatanatyam. So she didn't want to do it. And Prabhupada says, that's not the point. Since she's been trained to dance, now she should go on the stage. So this movement's meant for a certain process. So we should follow it. And we shouldn't become too inhibited in our, when we're giving Krishna consciousness. you know, Lord Chaitanya gives the mood of Sankirtan in the first four verses of the Shikshastakam. No. Well, particularly, actually, he gives a mood in the first verse and the subsequent three verses after that are talking about the advancement a devotee makes by, you know, this Sankirtan movement. And then from the fifth verse onward, it starts to talk about how, you know, more deeper devotional service. We come into the point of, you know, attachment. So that's a very high process of devotional service. We become attached to serving Krishna. Then from that attachment, eventually, we develop bhava, or, you know, a loving feeling towards Krishna and his service. And then eventually prema. What we're dealing with, first verse is chetam dharpana marjanam. And so Lord Chaitanya is saying that this Sankirtan movement, it's the, you know, it cleanses the heart of all the material desires. And because we're living in the West, from my experience, this is not Shastri, but from my experience, is that, you know, I spent quite a long time up in Manchester. And most of the time, what I was doing is just going out door to door, distributing books or Harinam or something like that. And after about 10 years, I was thinking, you know, maybe I should do something else. Is this all there is? I was actually getting a taste from it. It was okay, but I was getting a bit worried, you know, and time kept going by. But now I realise that I needed that. I'm feeling the benefit now that, you know, it really fixed me on in the process of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. So that's what we need. We need some strong service attitude. And this is particularly relevant when we come to performing Sankirtan. It's like all services purify like anything. But Sankirtan in particular, it condenses it. You know, in one day you can go through, you know, a lot of purification. This is one side to it. So Cheto Dharpana Marjanam, it purifies the heart. When the heart becomes purified, then Krishna consciousness starts to manifest. You know, we're doing devotional service with the external senses, and this is what Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti is for. We have no taste, we have no natural inclination. So by this process, we develop that inner taste, the heart. So this is the first process, and what is Sankirtan? It's complete glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so whatever service we're doing in one respect, if we're actually in that mood, then, you know, this is Sankirtan. Just like on Sunday, go back to Sunday. Was that Sankirtan? You know, definitely it was Sankirtan. You know, the last half, a lot of devotees think that, you know, maybe it was a bit long. But that's another thing that needs... that's a technical thing which needs adjusting according to the, you know, what they call him, the person who, not the producer, the next one. Like an editor, what's the name? Eh? Director, yeah. He'll chop bits and, but you know, looking at, everybody's suffering, aren't they? They're suffering like anything. They put on a brave face. Who's enjoying in this world? Nobody. And the one who is, who says he is, he tells lies, you know. Everybody can, on Sunday, this last send off, everybody can understand this guy who came, this devotee who came on, and he'd just been born, and he was actually pouring out his heart, you know, I couldn't understand what, so everybody will relate to that. This is Sankirtan. Everything we do, it can be Sankirtan. And then, you know, I heard afterwards there was a leaflet which actually stipulated the different parts of the act and what it was meant to show. And if we'd have all read that first, it would have made more sense. But we had to figure it out. Maybe thought, these are devotees, let them figure it out, you know. And so this is one thing, but, you know, anyway, Cheto Dharpana Marjanam. People become purified by seeing that. It makes them go inside. When they see a devotee and they start, you know, hearing about this process, they get a book, they become purified, they can go inside. And they can start to become purified also. You know, Lord Chaitanya's process was to go in South India, not door to door necessarily, but he used to go through the villages. And all he'd do was Harinam Sankirtan. You know, this book distribution is called Brihat Madanga. It's the same thing. It's Sankirtan, but it's through books. And, you know, everybody who saw him did just start chanting the holy name and become filled with ecstasy. They become purified very quickly. And then they would go into their village and they'd start chanting. And then everybody else would become affected. Gradually should get watered down as things went on, but, you know, this is our process. He said that, you know, we should go out there, we should leave no stone unturned. Is that right? So next one is, Bhava Maha Devagni Nirvapanam, that, you know, that it extinguishes the fire of conditioned life. You know, Sangatan is meant to relieve people. You know, we can all feel that anxiety due to attachment, is it? Has anybody felt that? It's just below the, just in between the bottom of the rib cage. Anxiety, is that right? Where the stomach is. So everybody's got a knot there. And so this is a fire of Bhava Mahada Vagnini Rapanam. And we get that when we ask about on Sankirtan as well. We get a knot there sometimes. It's called anxiety, spiritual anxiety. Well, I don't know whether it's spiritual at that point. It's like... But, you know, but this, when we actually go out and we distribute, start to reciprocate with the conditioned souls, actually very quickly that's finished. And when we give them some transcendental knowledge, it's also starting to, you know, extinguish this fire of conditioned life. We'll quickly go through the rest. So it works for both personally and congregationally. That's the point. Spread the rays of the Benedictine moon. It's talked about this in Madhuri Kadambani. You know, when the moon comes out in India, and it's been a scorching day, 40 degrees, sometimes even more. And everybody, in the evening, everybody can bask in the moon. It's not like that in England, though, is it? And Scotland especially. Bask in the moon. So it cools. So these are the effects of not transcendental knowledge. That's the next one. What's the life of the wife of transcendental knowledge? This knowledge that we're distributing. What's that? It's like the wife follows the husband. Is that right? Well, she should do anyway. The wife follows the husband. And therefore she gets the same benefit as the husband. So this process of devotional service, chanting the holy name, distributing transcendental literature, then knowledge follows that. Devotional service is... one thing, we read the books, but that the actual knowledge in the books is revealed in the heart when we perform devotional service in the proper mood. This is what the books are giving us guidance on. Just like devotional service starts by pleasing or by having a change of attitude. In society, people think they're enjoyers, but they're actually sufferers. You know, there's two things we have to change in life. What's them? We have to change a flat tyre. Is that right? We have to change a flat tyre, and we have to change our attitude. And when Krishna starts seeing a change in attitude starting to manifest. When he sees, you know, a change of attitude starting to manifest, then he starts to reciprocate with that from within. And so when we go on, when we actually distribute in transcendental literatures, we'll see that happening. This is the inspiring thing about book distribution, distributing. So many wonderful things happen. So we're singing Guru Vastakam every morning, in the fifth verse, that the pure devotee or the spiritual master is always trying to, you know, assist the gopis in helping to satisfy Radha and Krishna in the groves of Vrindavan. But this Sankirtan movement is none different from that. That when we, you know, go out and preach to the lapsed devotees or the conditioned souls. This is why it pleases Krishna so much, that we're trying to increase Krishna's association in the spiritual world. what's that verse? I can't remember it. The verse that Maharaj Pratiparudra recited and pleased Lord Chaitanya. And this, you know, and when Lord Chaitanya heard this verse, Tavakatamritam Tapta Jivanam Kavibiritam Kalma Sarpanam Shravanamangalam Srimadaritam Bhuvi Grinantye Bhuri Dajana. And Lord Chaitanya was massaging King Pataparudra's feet. And he was reciting the Gopi Gita, very internal prayers. And then when he came to this, and you know, Lord Chaitanya was encouraging him. And then when he got to this verse, I think it's the ninth verse, and he recited, then Lord Chaitanya was ecstatic and he stood up and he embraced Maharaj Pratibhirudra. And said, and in the purport, Prabhupada said he got all his mercy. Why? Because he was talking about this sanctam process. He says, talking about these books, you know, about the words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's Bhagavad Gita. Those words which are about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Srimad Bhagavatam. He says, when these literatures are distributed, then it destroys the ignorance of the conditioned souls. And those who actually distribute them, they're the most munificent people. Bhuri Dajana. Yes, so this process is for everybody. And this Sankirtan Marathon started in, I think it was Los Angeles. If you read in Prabhupada Lilamrita, it was Rameshwar. And he was the temple president there. Or a nearby temple. And they were out distributing books. It was Christmas time. And, you know, they became a little bit inspired. They started to do quite a few books. And then, so they decided to, he was driving home at the usual time, and he went past this big Maha superstore, Zoli's, I think they called it. And, when they saw it was still open, there were people who went and thought, well, we'll give it a little bit more time. And so they went and they were distributing there. And there were a few parties out, and the other party had gone somewhere else. And then, you know, it got to like 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night. They were disputing 3 or 4 hours over time. And so we better go back, you know, the others will be waiting for us, because they used to come back and share their scores. When they go back to the temple, there was nobody there. The other group had also got inspired the same way. And so, you know, they were enthused by that extra effort, and they were talking about, you know, all they'd done during the day, even late into the night. So this is Sankirtan. Sankirtan means it's glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And what happens when we glorify the Supreme Lord? We become very ecstatic. We also become glorified for that service. So this Christmas marathon was started in that way. Then they went out for 3 days. It wasn't a long marathon then. I remember the first one when I started, it was 1984. The marathon started in 1983. And I visited the temple in 1984, you know, I stayed a week. And a few weeks later, I joined. And it was February. And it was a marathon. It was a 4-month marathon. There'd been some catastrophe in the movement, and they were trying to, you know, get it together again. So I added the last month, the February month. I was in the temple for a day. And then the temple president asked me if I'd like to do some Sankirtan. And I said, what's Sankirtan? So he told me, and so I went out and did it. It wasn't my idea what Sankirtan was, actually. I read in the book Sankirtan was distributing books. At that time, it was just trying to, you know, make ends meet. There was a big Lakshmi scarce. So this is unfortunate. But anyway, things have moved on since then. Now we've got books to distribute, so we should feel very happy about that. And so, Sankirtan, it's this particular verse in the Bhagavad Gita, it's talking about a devotee who's, you know, balanced. So we should be balanced in our activities. You know, it's for 1 month. It's like an extra effort. But the rest of the year, definitely we should be performing all angles of devotional service. But the tendency is at this time of year we fully engage in book distribution. But that has to also be regulated. Because I was in Bolton in Manchester, it was 92, I think it was. And there was two prolific book distributors. They were, I forget the name, well, I do know the names, I won't mention. And they were, you know, we were doing Bolton and they'd come, they'd been there since, you know, early hours. We came about 10 o'clock or between 9 and 10 o'clock. And they'd been there for like at least an hour before that, 8 o'clock. Or, and when we got there, from that wall to the end of this, with this bellies, and probably, you know, two depths, there were just books this high, all in the street. There was, I don't know how many there were, but it was amazing. I thought, wow, they're going to just be all in books. And they were distributing like anything. And at the end of the day, there were a little pile left at the bottom, so they finished, and they left them for the temple, you know, our temple. And but then I spoke to one of them at break time, and he looked completely whacked. He weren't really enlivened. He was like, and I asked him, you know, I said, "You come here early, don't you?" He said, "Yeah, we." And he was telling me that they don't chant the rounds. They weren't chanting the rounds. They were after, you know, coming first in the marathon. Did a few rounds, then had a break at midday. You know, if they had time, they did a few rounds. And then, you know, they finished late and then they went on to the next place and they did a few rounds on the way and whatever. And, you know, the following year they weren't there. So, you know, we have to be careful that, you know, it's a marathon. But, you know, even when we used to do any festival we do where we have to pay extra effort in, if we start missing out on, you know, our fuel supply, then we'll just conk out. Have you noticed when you run out of petrol? You know, it's like, if you do actually run out, usually you get there just in time, you know, by Christian's mercy. But if you do run out, it doesn't like, the car doesn't suddenly start going over a few miles, does it? You know what I mean? It's like 10 miles from, you know, you've still got a little bit left. You don't start slowing down, does it? Does it? What's your experience? What happens is it goes and it's finished. You might go like a couple of hundred yards coughing and spluttering, but it's finished. And so that's what happens in devotional service. You know, we don't feel so enlivened, but one day it's like, boom, you know, we can't go on. So, you know, we have to be careful. It's a marathon. Everybody should make an effort to, you know, try and help in some way. The book distribution, the best way is to go out and do a few books and meet the public. If that's not possible, we go out and we put our feet on the pavement, as Vaisheshika says. And then we see the activity, we associate with the activity and we see people doing it. And then after a while, you know, we feel a little bit inclined to stand behind the table, and then somebody comes up and, you know, we see that we give them a book and they start asking questions. And gradually we get the Sankirtan mood. I know Vishwabhamba was telling me the other day, he was saying he was in Italy and it came time for the marathon. And, you know, he'd do anything but go out on the marathon. He used to do all kinds of service. And then he moved temples because, you know, he was expected to go out on. And then he moved countries. He moved from Italy because he didn't want to do Sankirtan. Can you believe it? And then he came to England and he was happy doing some service in the temple. And then one day he was forced to go out. And, you know, from that time on he's been going out. And he's now he was the Sangatan leader for the whole of Europe. Now it's just the UK, I think. He's the main man. And so this is a wonderful process. It's not that, you know, we're conditioned to our nature in material life, but when we actually start to follow the process, we get, you know, an inclination. This process is available to everybody. It's not a matter whether we're actually a brave person or a good speaker. These things can help to some degree, but it's a matter of actually taking up the mood of Lord Chaitanya. You know, what did Lord Chaitanya say? Everybody should become guru. What does that mean? Everybody should become, you know, should give Krishna consciousness to others. And so a devotee, when he goes out on the street, is actually Vatma Pradakshika Guru, is introducing people to Krishna consciousness by this easy process of book distribution. So anyway, we can stop there. We're a little bit short of time. So this wasn't like a gung ho sankirtan class necessarily, because all, you know, most of the devotees have gone. But it was you know, just to give an insight into Lord Chaitanya's mood, and that simultaneously with Sankirtan, we can only perform Sankirtan if we're spiritually strong. We really have to chant our rhymes nicely if we want to do Sankirtan. And if we read the books, otherwise we'll become bewildered. This is a Sankirtan's devotee's life, to chant his rounds nicely and read the books. And in this way it's possible to actually go out and keep giving Krishna consciousness. It's effortless. And so, for those who are in the beginning stages, you know, we should first, little by little, try to do a little bit. And we'll see how Lord Chaitanya reciprocates with that. Just like the... Did I hear it in class at the beginning of the week? Like Hanuman, he was putting huge boulders in the sea, you know, to bridge for the bridge between Lanka and India. And at the side, this little squiddle came and started throwing some little pebbles in. And, you know, Lord Chaitanya said that he's doing as much as you. You know, it's a mood, isn't it? When we do things, when we do Sankirtan, we start to realize that we're not the doer. We make all plans, but it doesn't always work. We start to realize our Krishna is in charge of every situation. So that's the main thing, is that by trying to give Krishna consciousness, it's a success. And we realize that Krishna is the doer in all activities. He's a witness and super sanctioner of every activity. And then what happens is that our... our attitude in devotional service changes. We start to become dependent on Krishna. And when we start to become dependent on Krishna, we can do more for Krishna. Everything starts to manifest. Whatever we're thinking that we are doing, we'll limit ourselves very much. So little by little, we can start to get into this mood of giving Krishna consciousness and allowing Lord Chaitanya to take over our activities. So thank you for listening. Has anybody got any comments or any questions?